One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You've got to ignite the light, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Controversy at Newcastle and Sheffield United won. It's Monday, 6th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Russell.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Vidisha Natarajah.
Oof, good to have you here, everybody. Monday, you're at work, and so are we, technically, Jim Campbell. But it's good that we can have this meeting of minds. Andy Brassel, good to have you back in the pod.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for coming,
sir. Nice to be here.
Andy, I'd like you to start, because it was a very contentious weekend of football in the Premier League. There was some great goals, there were some great happenings. It's just what you want from arguably the finest league in the world. And that point was very much argued upon by one individual. But before we come to all that, let's have some highlights of the weekend. Andy Brassel, would you kick us off?
Well, my highlight of the weekend starts in a quite inauspicious way, I suppose. Mm. Roma, in the 91st minute, are losing at home to Lecce.
And then what happens,
Romelu Lukaku's missed a penalty in the early stages.
He'll do that.
They've let in a goal. They've run out of ideas.
Nowhere.
Completely. Nowhere. Then, 91st minute.
And they run out 1-0 losers.
Sada Azmoun equalises. Yeah. Great header. Yeah. And then, Romelu Lukaku, who's missed the penalty, set up by Paulo Dybala, who has looked so unfit. It's like he's been running through treacle for the entire game. He sets up Lukaku. Lukaku scores, goes nuts, tears his shirt off. There are tears. Mourinho's kissing Usim Awar on the sideline.
Is that the opposition manager?
And what is it that Verbal says in The Usual Suspects? He says, the biggest trick the devil ever played is making you believe that scraping a home win against Lecce is a massive achievement. And that's exactly what happened.
Did Mourinho do the crying eyes to the opposition bench?
Not this week.
He didn't need to, I suppose. Jim, you're a highlight of the weekend.
Well, it's a bountiful weekend for highlights, wasn't it? Some great Barclays on display. But I'm going to go for something that actually will be relevant a lot of weekends in this or any season, because David Moyes did it on Match of the Day in the post-match, and then Martin Keown picked it up. It's a reference to Keystone Cops, a slapstick silent comedy series of movies from well over 100 years ago. almost no one who ever uses the reference has ever seen. Let's be honest. It is the little reference that could. People are referencing the reference. No one knows what it is.
It was a 90s
and
reference.
I love it.
1890s.
I just love how often it comes up. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and what was the reference?
It's just that the defending was Keystone.
Yeah, that's right.
We need to update our references, I think.
No, I don't think we do, Jim. I think that
it's police academy stuff. Surely you'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
I do have a Naked Gun reference coming up. Fish.
So my highlight from the weekend isn't strictly a highlight from the weekend. It's a highlight from the last month. Now,
You've sort of misunderstood the brief here.
Well, wait. This is what I think helps my point qualify, or my highlight qualify for this particular section, because yesterday, Drogheda United FC from the League of Ireland Premier Division, they dropped their goals of the month competition that you could vote on. Mm-hmm. Now, those of us who are familiar with the League of Ireland acknowledge the fact that it's a regular contributor to the Puskás Awards. There's always one banger from the League of Ireland in the Puskás Awards. Yeah.
It might have only happened once or twice, but I take the point.
This compilation from Drogheda United, who are, I think, in the bottom half of the League of Ireland Premier Division, is 2 minutes, 16 seconds of some of the best goals you will ever see. It dropped on my feed and I was like, oh, you know, I'll give this a watch. And honestly, every type of goal, long range banger, pass from the back, just
Scorpion
volleys.
Kick.
You know what? Probably. I probably should watch it again. It is unbelievable and I recommend you checking it out. It is one of the best goal compilations you can see from one club in a month.
Where exactly then? Would you say it again? The name of the...
Drogheda United FC. Drogheda United on... X.
On X, thank you.
See,
that reminds me of FC Basel, famous European club FC Basel.
Yes.
Their goal of the month
competition.
Yeah, no goals in October, no goal of the month competition.
Yeah, well, they should just default to these boys then, shouldn't they? We haven't got this, but here's a treat for you. My highlight of the weekend has to be the Copa Libertadores final. Fluminense winning their first ever one in that lovely kit, Jim Campbell.
Lovely, lovely kit.
Lovely
of the great kits of the world.
Maybe.
They don't need, you don't need an away kit with that kit, do you?
That's true. They've sort of gained the system.
Although maybe you do in Brazil, where all the kits are, you know, similarly good.
Yeah,
you don't need pyjamas if you're going for a sleepover either, do you?
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose with that kit, another Brazilian side probably has it, but in a hooped version.
Yeah. Okay. Almost certainly.
Yeah, but it was a great win. And who got the remedy? John Kennedy. Scored the goal. Big John. wonderfully named. When I heard Kennedy had scored, I thought, former Newcastle man. I know, of course, it's not the same one. That would have been too much of a
stretch. Marcelo completing the set.
Marcelo started the game for Fluminense.
Herman Cano scored the first goal for Fluminense. And I don't know if you remember, I thought a man had called me a loser while I was wearing my Fluminense kit in the gym.
And it was Herman.
He was actually, he was replicating Herman Cano's celebration, which is an L representing Lorenzo, the name of his son. So lovely to see him pop up.
Lovely,
right,
lovely.
Yeah.
And the manager, Fernando Diniz, his celebration is one of... There was so much going on after the final whistle when they were crowned champions. It was David Pleat in there, a little bit of a gallop. It was Mourinho at Nou Camp. He was on the pitch. There was Robbie Keane. There was a forward roll. It had everything. And he looks a bit like the character from Naked Gun 2.5, the wonderfully named Quentin Habsburg. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of good references in there for you.
I mean, was
please listen
thinking...
to the rest of the pod. Is what I would sort of
was say. Fernando Diniz's thing. Thinking that if I keep running, you can't take the Brazil job off me.
Was there a man with a P45 running after? Yeah, no.
You could do that. You could do that in one of the mid-90s FIFA games, couldn't you? You could run away from the referee if he tried to book you.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then I think every now and again he'd stop and give you a red card.
Yeah. It was a bit of a gamble. He'd either go, all right, fine, get off with it, or no, I'm not having this. You're taking the piss. There we are. What a win it was for Fluminense against Boca Juniors. Of course, the real highlight of the weekend was the new football Ramble mailbag, which dropped on Saturday. If you haven't listened, then do so. Myself, Vish and Luke answered your questions and we heard a lovely story about Big Ange going to the theatre. So new episodes will be out every other Saturday, so watch out for the next episode on the 18th of November. Right, everybody, let's get down to it. Newcastle United 1, Arsenal 0. Jim Campbell.
I'm surprised this has made it in. It was only
what a boring nil. What I love, though, after the goal, I think it was a match of the day, I'm quite sure, after the the goal, which was scored in the 64th minute, there was basically, that was it. There was no more highlights because the talking point, all the talking point, there was three obvious ones. We'll start with the goal, shall we?
Yeah.
Because within that, you've got three talking points.
I actually think there's a fourth one that's snuck in, but we'll come on to that. Should we do it bit by bit?
Far away, I think.
Actually, firstly, the thing that needs to be said is how unprecedented this is, that you'd have this many in one incident, and of course it's going to take ages. I wonder if the VAR's rushed it a bit because of that reason. So the first one will obviously be, did the ball go out of play or not? There's an image circling around that makes it look very much like it did, but of course, as in with that goal for Japan at the World Cup, you've got to take in the sort of curvature of the ball and whether that is over the line. Essentially, we just can't know.
We
don't know. What one image makes it look like, oh, maybe it is out, but one makes it look like it doesn't. Being sport mocked one up, and
so that was just for Keyes.
We don't know. It was just for Keyes, like so much. we don't know on that one. I initially.
Did he rule out dark forces?
Do you know what?
Never rule those out. Okay. Never rule those out.
Yeah. I think he summoned them again.
In real time, I thought it was offside.
Right.
But again, I haven't seen any proper way where you can determine that, which is, how rare is that?
Well, it's very,
like, on its own, that is so rare, let alone among all these things.
And this was bound to happen because we forget with VAR, it is the cameras. There are certain, you can't have cameras covering all 360 degrees of the incident.
No.
At least one pundit suggests that we do that.
Right. Lars Sivertsen?
That we have, I think it was Glenn Murray on Match of the Day too, wasn't it?
Futuristic. That's like bloody Fritz Lang's Metropolis.
Anyway, Jim.
He was saying, why isn't there goal line technology
everywhere?
Everywhere through all the lines of the pitch. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Sure. So the worst one for me, I think, is the foul. I think it is a foul. Right. I think he's got both hands on him. Also, the bonus one that's snuck in there, the ball actually comes off of Joe Linton's hand or his arm that, and it happens so fast, it's hard to say whether he sort of, it's probably a stretch to say he controlled it with his arm.
Well, he's
certainly
pushing the
benefited
defender.
From the bounce of it. Yeah, and he, I think he just pushed Gabriel over. And, you know, there's a couple of incidents where Newcastle players just pushed players over.
We'll
get to that. But yeah, I personally do think that is a foul and that goal should not have stood. The reaction to it is obviously apoplectic, really, really massive and over the top, but it is an emotional thing, isn't it?
Perhaps people might disagree with
of course, and people are going to disagree.
Vish, what did you make of it?
It's funny, wasn't it? I broadly agree with Jim. I actually didn't think it was a foul until I ended up rewatching it on Sunday, and I was like, "Oh yeah, actually,
that's too long for a VAR check on Sunday."
No, is it? There was a moment.
Right, you're going to have to go away. Local hotels, you're going to do very well out of this.
So this
replay.
if you're really lucky when you're on jury duty, it just goes on for ages.
Right. Never done it.
It was very strange. No, nor have I. I'm not a good man and true. So. But the strangest thing.
Band list?
Maybe they don't release it, do they?
Right.
The thing I found really funny was, I think clearly VAR and people at Stockley Park were aware of how unique a situation it was. Mm-hmm. Because Gary Neville had a direct line to the... all commentators had a direct line to the feed. Mm-hmm. And so Gary Neville was actually, you know, doing quite a sensible thing and giving people an update and saying, VAR have asked for more time here.
Yeah.
Like, they just put in a request for more time. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of fair enough.
With three incidents, yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
A secret incident.
Yeah. But the...
Jeremy Farr and Jim spotted.
I think... I
promise you it isn't just me.
But I realised when they were going through that I think I'm developing a bit of Stockholm syndrome with VAR, because Gary Neville, having, you know, access to the feed, he shouted goal before the referee confirmed it. And I thought, don't spoil it, mate.
Yeah.
I want the whistle and the point.
You're not the bellwether.
We should say on the point of Gary Neville, he obviously was maybe not thinking straight, because he retweeted our very own Luke Moore.
He did.
Yeah. And actually...
It shows how peculiar a situation it was.
It was, yeah. Indeed, yeah. We should say, though, actually, I thought Luke summed it up very, very well on the thread, as obviously
Agreed.
Mr Neville did as well.
Agreed.
So, again, something for you to do, everybody. A little bit more homework there. But, Andy, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that's the thing. As Luke pointed out, I don't think any of the three decisions are heinous. That's why I find the Arteta reaction, they're all a bit subjective. So what I find the Arteta reaction and the statement that follows it, which is just absolutely repellent, by the way.
Yeah.
It's just really gaslighty to stand there. How is it going to make officiating better to just completely misrepresent the situation, which is what he's done? That is the disgrace, not the decision.
Well, indeed.
Deliberately misrepresenting what actually happened.
Arteta said
just because people don't really want justice when they're going on a massive Twitter rant about this. They want it to go for their team. To claim otherwise is just it's just transparently not true.
So Arteta said, I mean, he said the decision was embarrassing and a disgrace. And obviously Arsenal since released a statement saying the club wholeheartedly supports Mikel Arteta, and they've written to Pugmol. And said
the apology posse.
Yeah, I thought, well, this shouldn't be hard to get an apology from them.
No, it's like, no, I don't want one. I won't even take your apology. I'm going to salt that earth in advance.
They said that the officiating needs to be a higher standard. The Premier League says it's the best league. Blah, 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 blah. Is it fair to say that Arsenal, Jim, as a collective, including every single one of their fans, has embarrassed and disgraced themselves?
No, I don't. Actually, respected broadcaster Richard Keys agrees with Mikel Arteta. So that
again,
tells you.
Again, Jim, there's certain. You know, with regards to certain votes and certain referendums, you know, people would say, "Oh, well, I'm not sure." I just say, "Just see who's saying what."
Yeah,
that should sort of. So do we need more confirmation that the right decision was made?
You have put me in disgrace there, so I would ask that you still hear me out. Let me have my last words from the gallows here.
Jim Campbell responds.
Any final words?
I'll have a final statement later.
GB News.
The statement is obviously completely unnecessary.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. I think it's quite funny just from where I'm sat. I think that just says more about my personality than anything else. But I think what this has come from is I think there's a lot of groupthink around PGMOL at the moment, where we've had the situation with Liverpool earlier in the season. Now, that was a lot more cut and dry.
Very different.
But clearly internally, Arsenal don't think it is different. Arsenal think that decision is wrong. They feel like they've lost at least a point there. Realistically, probably a point the way the game went out. Mm. So that's an extreme position, but it's the position they've taken. But there was a Liverpool statement earlier, and I'm not blaming Liverpool for this as well, because it was going on all last season as well. Gary O'Neill's been very vocal. Pretty much every team somewhere has had a decision where they're like, this is getting ridiculous now. Mm-hmm. The PGMOL aren't fit for purpose, et cetera, et cetera. This narrative is building, and I think it's actually happening within the clubs as well. And this stuff is happening because I think there's a sense that the standards aren't high enough and that something has to give. And it is unedifying that clubs are putting out official statements kind of pushing this narrative. Yeah. But I think that is kind of, that's where it's coming from. And, you know, it's... It's a kind of a situation of their own making to a degree, because there's been so much inconsistency and it's the attempts to explain things haven't really cleared anything up. And you've also got this situation, I know this is a separate point, a lot of people are saying, oh, the referee shouldn't be taking gigs in the Middle East, and we should refer to Hanlon's razor here, which is the idea that if something should never be ascribed to malice that is easily explained away by incompetence, something like that. I don't think for a second there's a conspiracy here, but the PGMOL are trying to make itself look like this really, really professional organisation. And for them to allow their referees to go and referee in countries that own Premier League clubs is just really unserious. You know, it's a very clear conflict of interest. I'm not for a second saying there's a conspiracy, but it's like you've got to nix that. You've got to nix any possibility of it or any suggestion of
it. Sure, but I mean, I think that's a by-the-by point, though.
They're separate points.
Yeah. I understand that you're trying to grasp at straws, Jim. Any chance of a replay?
I've got some stuff I wrote in the aftermath of the game, if you want. That's a lot less measured.
Yeah.
I've kept it in the notes.
Yeah, well, just screenshot those comments from the Daily Mail, if you could.
I never thought this. Can I hear more from Jim?
Bruno Guimaraes' parents have done an appalling job. They should be ashamed of themselves and of him.
Okay, well, look, we've talked about the goal. Let's talk about the other two decisions. Kai Havertz, should he have been sent off-ish? Or was it a booking?
I thought he...
Come on, you've had a few days.
So I thought he...
Check's still going on, mate.
You'd be a dreadful VAR guy.
Well, I'd just press a button straight away.
Would you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Big red button. So I thought he actually ended up playing it quite smartly, because as he dives in for the tackle, and I think the intent alone, it should be a red, but he does very well to keep his studs parallel to the ground, because it means that by the point of contact with the player,
right,
he's kind of like scything him rather than chopping him, if that makes sense. Yes, if you can, if you can differentiate between the two.
Right.
I thought it was, I mean, he was clearly out of control. He was clearly doing that because a few seconds earlier he'd been kind of like, as was going on through the game, he'd been nudged and lost his head a little bit. And I think he ended up playing quite badly after that.
So was it a red card?
Yeah, I think it was a red card.
You thought it was a red card?
Yeah, but I think the reason he was able to survive it, then get three new cards of players booked, was genius, by the way, was because he actually ended up exhibiting control that helped him out in that situation right at the last moment.
Yeah, and he looked like the victim in the melee.
Yeah.
That was the funny thing.
Go on,
did you think it was a sending off?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought it was an orange card.
I thought it was.
Really?
But you know the thing about that is they don't fucking exist, mate.
Yeah, that's true. So therefore, it's a yellow for me. Yeah.
Well, I think it was a red that should have been rescinded to a yellow once he shushed Jason Tindall.
There you go. Excellent.
My official position.
Excellent.
On it.
Yeah.
The great thing about that incident, for the neutral, definitely, and I suppose for the Newcastle fan, is it really. I don't know that many teams do this particularly well, apart from maybe Liverpool at their best, but. Newcastle had this great kind of recycling of energy at St. James's Park, whereby the players end up working with the noise that is generated from the stands and ended up, you know, basically cycling that all back in there. Yep. And you end up in this almost a cyclone of noise and feel.
Yeah.
And they use that so well because they play very good football. There's a lot of talk last season, rightly, about how much time they waste. Mm-hmm. And obviously referees are hot on that now. Mm-hmm. And they're just playing it slightly differently.
Yeah.
And I think, as we mentioned on Friday when previewing this game, I anticipate it being a bit of a more physical, robust challenge of Arsenal. And by and large, I thought Arsenal dealt well with that. But within that, you actually go and you end up seeing they do it with a lot of discipline.
Yeah.
In terms of like tactical and footballing discipline, whereby, yeah, everyone's up for it. Everyone's shouting after every tackle. Saka gets the ball and three people are on him. Mm-hmm. The ball moves square and everyone kind of moves around on that, you know, I suppose on that plane without the ball.
I would agree with that. I think Newcastle are really annoying, but they're really,
very annoying.
They're really annoying in a very different way. It's not Lascelles stand on the touchline, because he's actually playing now, stand on the touchline holding onto the ball. It's Anthony Gordon. It's Bruno Guimarães. It's Joe Linton, who just won't stop and is absolutely relentless.
How much does Tindall take credit for this? Because it's...
Being irritating.
Well, in terms of the temperament of the side and the steel, because we don't have an awful lot of examples of Eddie Howe teams. Really, it's Bournemouth is the large bit. Obviously, Burnley.
Yeah, it's so different.
It's very different. But right. Tindall was with Howe at Bournemouth, though. I just find it interesting. Just how different.
Can I just say, I think actually the most controversial point of this game was the Bruno Guimarães.
I agree.
Whatever you want to call it,
to me that was
that's
the
a
one.
Straight red to me.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Why did they look at it? They did.
He's got away with a few of those this season, and really, I think
you got to blame the parents.
I think it's a tricky one because Joao Palhinha had one against Brighton, a very similar kind of situation, and I think it's difficult to determine. Is he actually trying to, probably biff
him?
This
is cut and dry, though, isn't it?
Well,
Well,
I think it's difficult to say. Is he trying to sort of push him out the way as he goes?
That first one, there can be no doubt. It's a deliberate. There can be no doubt. It's a deliberate foul on him.
The debate goes on, but he wasn't giving it. It was a good win for Newcastle United.
Can we actually?
We've forgotten about Anthony Gordon's finish, haven't we?
We've forgotten about the brilliant finish. Yeah, we've forgotten the game itself was very, very tight, as you said. Vish, they're very, very tough to break down. They're horrible to play against. Yeah. So I do mean that as a compliment as well. I think Arsenal didn't create enough, and they're in a sort of blip of form. The Sheffield United at home game is obviously a very sort of different proposition, but they weren't great against West Ham with a lot of changes. The Chelsea game, they got themselves in a hole, and they really, really need to get out of this sort of patchy run of form and essentially stay out of it for the rest of the season, given the standards of the league now.
Tottenham are playing tonight, and obviously that means that Tottenham are the only unbeaten team left in the Premier League. So all to play for, of course. Arsenal are
take a note, trivia fans.
Very much so, very much so. Further bad news for Arsenal is their under-18s match that was postponed this weekend because the team bus travelled to Bournemouth instead of Brighton.
Yeah.
do they get a replay? Is
the
that embarrassing and a disgrace?
Not in form.
Yeah. Indeed. Gentlemen, we must move on and talk about Luton Town 1, Liverpool 1. Luton denied a famous victory by a stoppage time goal from Luis Diaz. And unless you're a Luton fan, I don't think anybody can begrudge Luis Diaz that. Because there's obviously a lot of neutrals watching the game. You're thinking, blimey, this would be such a seismic result. But of course, when he scores and we're reminded of what's going on in his personal life, revealing the message, you know, freedom for Papa, it would translate to under his shirt. So he's been through, I can't even imagine. But it was ultimately a result we didn't think Luton would get, Vish. So, of course, they're going to be disappointed, nearly holding on for a victory. But impressive stuff from them.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, Liverpool should have won this game.
Yeah.
Well, I think on the balance of chances alone.
Well, we go back to Glenn Murray and I think it was Dion Dublin and the punditry, and they said, well, I Jurgen Klopp said it was a fair result. And they were like, I don't know. I thought Luton looked good. And I was like, well, they did ride their luck an awful lot.
Yeah, yeah. No, I thought Liverpool, obviously they're disappointed not to win it, but I thought they had chances to win it, particularly our man, Darwin. Mm-hmm. It was like we've concocted him from the ramble.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. That one where he hit the bar. Well, he chested it.
Gorgeous.
Down, would have been fantastic.
Yeah. Amazing.
But such is the chaos of Darwin Núñez that him missing an open goal makes me utterly convinced he's going to score the winner.
Yeah.
The Luton were exceptional, I thought. Like one of the things I thought they did really well is how when they were clearing their lines, they were carrying the ball forward. I think a lot of times when teams play Liverpool and they are totally up against it, they make the mistake of just hoofing the ball long, which actually just invites that tidal wave of pressure that Liverpool always bring, because they just attack you in waves, yeah? And, you know, Gravenbach was good. Harvey Elliott was excellent when he came on. But Luton, like Ogbene, I thought like the way he carried the ball particularly was really good. And their fullbacks as well, Kabore and Alfie Doughty, who I think he's a full namer, isn't he? We have to Solly March him.
Yeah.
Especially
yes.
you, Alfie Doughty, yeah.
But...
It's a full name.
The player who, like, I have to give immense credit for, because I just didn't think he had it in him, Ross Barkley.
Yes.
Yeah, for the goal, the penultimate pass is perfect. And that's what a properly fit Ross Barkley, and presumably in time a properly fit Andros Townsend, adds.
Senior.
Really. that's what he adds. Because I think if you go back to the beginning of the season, there's lots of merit in what Luton do. And there's lots of merit in what Rob Edwards is doing. There's no way they play that break right.
Yes.
5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But they played it absolutely perfectly. And as you were saying, under the pump for a lot of the game. And so to have that clarity in that moment is super hard. But they did it so well.
You're absolutely right, and full credit to them for that. The one thing I was really gutted about was when Ogbene decided to pass.
Yes.
I was like, you could have scored one of the greatest goals we've seen in modern times. The way he kind of is in his own half when he starts. Now Trent does track him, but he ultimately goes past him and then skins Konate as well. And you're thinking, a curler into the corner. I mean, this is Rod Wallace stuff, Andy.
yes!
It really is.
Does that count as an 80s reference?
Would it have been 90s, Rod
Wallace?
He would have been acting in both, wouldn't he?
Oh, he was acting, but I'm saying the goal was probably early 90s, maybe.
It was genuinely closer to Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
In this game.
We're edging towards it. But it was, it would have been glorious. I just think he was knackered. I think he was I'm going to pass it. And it still created a chance, which Alisson said very well. But, what a goal that would have been.
Still, though, I mean, that is a point they would not have been banking on, right? They'd take that at the beginning.
That's what they have to tell themselves.
It's a huge like platform to build on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've got to make the place difficult to come to, and they're clearly starting to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that the fact is that they were under the cosh. Liverpool did miss some great chances. And then when Liverpool equalised, you know, are they then going to go on and get the winner? All things considered, yes. Yeah. But they are gutted that they never got a famous victory.
They are. We should also call out the tragedy chanting from Luton fans.
Yeah.
I know it happens a lot of places and you don't always hear it on the TV. So Luton aren't alone in doing it, but it's bullshit. And it should stop.
Agreed.
Across the board.
Absolutely.
On a lovelier note, I do enjoy how Jamie Carragher says chonga.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. He was a good form Carragher on the weekend.
He was, yeah.
You know the Luton Town dog?
No.
The Kenilworth Road, you know, there's a lab, I think.
Yeah.
A Labrador. Not a lab, they're
I thought
not
you meant like a dog lab.
Yeah. The dog, very cute, very sweet, very quiet. He looks very old.
Oh, no.
And I don't think the Premier League, with all its issues, is ready to mourn the passing of a dog.
Mm.
I hate to say this.
He'll just go to Norwich or Ipswich. He'll be fine.
you know how FC Köln have their goat mascot, Hennis? They're on Hennis the 7th now.
Do they phrase it like that?
Yeah.
Hennis, amazing.
He's like a pope.
But Hennis, the name Hennis lends itself to Hennis the Seventh.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose it does.
Hennis the Menace. Presumably he is a menace. Yeah.
You would think so. I mean, yeah, that would be very, very sad, of course.
It just looks quite old.
It does look quite... The whole stadium is very old, isn't it? It's just all old down there. I mean, did you see that?
They're not going to bury the dog with the stadium, are they?
I don't know. I don't think they're going to bury the stadium. That would be quite a feat.
But build a new one on top of it.
But mind you, though, the stadium is playing its part in that, because did you see in the one of the toilets, the roof fell through? You know? Yeah.
Imagine if you're sat on the can when that happened.
It was in the troughs, and
you
it looked like
you would sit
nobody.
On the can in a football ground.
That's a good point.
I don't believe anybody was.
Imagine
hurt.
If you were piss jousting one of those cubicles when it came to.
Well,
doesn't bear thinking about.
I think this is the best argument we've had for going for a break. See you in a moment.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, here's a good one for you. I just learned the other day. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Life is not a waste of time, and time is not a waste of life. So let's stop wasting time, get wasted, and have the time of our lives.
Oh, yeah. There he is, everybody. Thank you very much to Ali for choosing today's clip. The best clip we've ever had, quite frankly.
He's a moron.
On a Monday, that is heinous.
He's a bald moron.
Pitbull is like, every day's the weekend for him. He's like, I can't control him. There's no gate, there's no keys. He's just out there. And that's what he gets up to. You can choose the break jingle for next Monday's show or, of course, the intro line for the show. On Wednesday, just hit the link in the show notes to sign up for the Football Ramble Patreon and become a friend of the Ramble. Right, it's time for an update on the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. Every weekend, we're placing a £10 Acca on 4 match odds, 90 markets across the Premier League, where any winning bets are paid out at 90 minutes, so you don't need to worry about any stoppage time drama ruining your bet. Game 1, I picked Palace to beat Burnley. Of course that happened. Another win for Speller. Game two, Pete picked Manchester United to beat Fulham. They did 1-0. A great shame. Unfortunately, injury time goals do count in the Premier League, so Fulham don't get a point, quite sadly. Vish, in game three, you picked Wolves to beat Sheffield United. That didn't happen. They lost 2-1. And in game four, Luke picked Newcastle to beat Arsenal. They did. They won 1-0, of course.
I'm just picturing Jonjo Shelvey getting sent off.
Yeah.
Looking over to Alex Ferguson going, that's your fucking fault. That's what I'm picturing, Luke.
There you go. So we didn't win that one, despite Vish's record of picking teams in the relegation battle. However, stoppage time goals changed the result for Sheffield United, Manchester United and Luton, meaning that Betfair paid out on over 5,000 bets that were winning at 90 minutes, thanks to their match odds 90 markets. So in total, there were 4 stoppage time goals in the Premier League this weekend. Betfair are donating £10 to the charity pot for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this season. So that's another £40 for Prostate Cancer UK. Now, remember with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, you will get your winning bet paid out in full at 90 minutes. We'll be back on Friday with another bet, of course. Right, gentlemen, before we go back to the Premier League, let's depart these shores and go to Germany, where England's Harry Kane scored a hat-trick as Bayern beat Dortmund 4-0 this weekend. Easy peasy for the big man.
It may be a farmer's league, but they've got the proper farmer in town.
Absolutely
they?
Right. They've got old McDonald in there.
Yeah. So
old McDonaldson was on his flight home from Dortmund, where he was at the weekend, and Charlie Kane was on the plane.
That's what he claims, yeah. I mean, it would make sense, of course.
That's what Charlie Kane claims.
Yeah, and only one of them was at the game. The other went to Dortmund.
Just went to Dortmund.
Yeah, for
which
the
by all accounts like a sort of shit industrial town. Is that right?
Andy, you've been there. Vish, you have family there. Can you both confirm that's true?
I just wondered if Donaldson was there to climb the yellow wall he heard so much about. Also, do we know that Charlie Kane was just outside? Tickets, any tickets, please. I'll sell my hog for a ticket.
No, I was thinking, well, buy or sell.
Buy or sell, yeah. Very much so, yeah. Kane has 17 goals and 13 for Bayern now this season. And according to BBC, no player in world football scored more than him so far this season. Became the first player to score 15 goals in his first 10 Bundesliga matches.
Which is the more important bit.
Yes.
Because if you look at, you go back a couple of years where Robert Lewandowski, with the last kick of the season, beats Gerd Müller's Bundesliga season scoring record. So Lewandowski gets to 41. Mm-hmm. And no one in Germany ever thinks it's possible to match or beat that Gerd Müller record.
And slightly shorter season, fewer games.
And Lewandowski does it.
Yeah.
Now, if Kane keeps scoring at the current rate, bear in mind that high watermark that should have been unbeatable is now 41.
Mm.
Kane would get to 51 if he carries on at the current rate, which is just remarkable.
Yeah, we have to wait for him to do it though, Andy. But I like where your head's at. Oh, Andy, we should say that the iconic commentator, Derek Ray, is joining you on the continent this week to discuss De Classica and a whole lot more. So subscribe to On the Continent now so you don't miss out. Back to the Premier League, everybody, after that little German appetizer there. Sheffield United 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. They bloody won. They've done it.
An absolute robbery. Yeah, I agree. Absolute robbery.
Of course, it was a 100th minute penalty from Oliver Norwood. And by the way,
after Fabio Silva's vicious assault.
It was sad to see him crying, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awful.
Don't like to see that. But in terms of the actual penalty itself, and we found a challenger for Kevin Pressman's throne.
Yes.
And of course, that Kevin Pressman goal in that penalty shootout for Sheffield Wednesday was against Wolves.
Yes. And of course, all the three goals in this game were lustily hit, weren't they?
They were. Mm-hmm. They absolutely were.
Archer's, what a great decision to make, because when you have that much open grass still left in front of you, you think... probably 2-3 more touches there.
He
recognises the guy's catching him, but yeah, just smash him from 20 yards.
Is it always a good decision to hit it in off the bar in the top corner?
Oh, it's one of the best ways you can score a goal. In off the underside of the bar, just below the line, or behind the line.
And a little kiss on the way back up.
Obviously, visibly so. Yeah. And from now on, Cameron Archer should be the only player that can do the bow and arrow celebration. That's perfect for him. Perfectly on brand.
Agreed.
Yeah, we're all agreed on that.
He should go to West Ham, so it'd be Bowen Archer.
Like it.
Yes.
Yeah, you weren't sure at the start.
I wasn't.
But like Cameron.
And it was when you went silent, I realised I had to follow through with it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask for an edit point, decided not to. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't.
The famous phrase, Bowen Archer.
You have asked... You have asked for 8 edit points so far on the show, which is a little look behind the curtain. But yes, it was great with Sheffield United. A brilliant penalty from Oliver Norwood, who I think he thought to himself, I've just got to go for this, haven't I? I really have to. Gary O'Neill said he wasn't going to bother acknowledging the officials anymore after the Newcastle decision, but he was unhappy here.
He went into the room with the referee afterwards, didn't he? Asked him to explain how it's a penalty.
So did you think it was a penalty, Jim?
I don't think it was a penalty. No. I mean, it's really, really soft.
I think the fact that the referee gave it, I don't think it's going to be overturned.
Oh, no, no.
And I think that's it.
That's the thing. I think it was a penalty. Like,
I didn't think it was that bad a decision, actually.
You think it was a penalty?
Yeah, I think it was a penalty. And yeah. I think I wasn't just getting at Arteta before. It's the same with O'Neill. Just like breeding this sense of...
O'Neill's been on the end of some terrible ones, Andy. I've got to defend future England manager Gary O'Neill there as a part of my duty,
That is true, but projecting previous decisions on the current referee.
Okay.
How is that helpful?
No,
how
I agree. That's what's happened in this game. He's been so jaded by all this that I understand he's like, come on. And I disagree with Gary O'Neill there. But I understand why his head is where it is on that. But I didn't have any problems with that being given as a penalty.
I mean, I did. I didn't think it was a penalty. I also think, and this isn't a reason to overturn the decision when they were reviewing it, but if you look at when Baldock goes down, he tries to get up straight away and take the ball in towards goal. Mm. So I think there's almost in that second an acknowledgement that
I don't think I'm getting it.
Probably not enough contact. Yeah,
within that, he does, I think, have a little look up at the referee, doesn't he? But it's kind of more in hope than expectation.
Yeah. What do you reckon to that, ref? But Oliver Norwood, as I say, you know, made the most of it. If you're going to get a penalty in controversial circumstances, make sure that you hit a penalty in a way that we're all going to talk about.
Yeah, unapologetically.
Yeah, I mean, I just hit the target. I hit it as hard as I could. Glorious. Fuck you, Derby. Doesn't always work out. But certainly it did on that occasion. Paul Heckingbottom explained that Sheffield United's 5-0 loss to Arsenal last week was all part of their preparation for winning this one. He said, we wanted to stay in a back four against Arsenal because we knew we would be playing a back five against Wolves. I wanted Gary to be preparing for us in a back four to give us as much of an advantage as possible.
Mick McCarthy-esque.
Mm. So us getting battered the other week, you all thought that was poor from us.
That makes our form seem more worrying.
Yeah, the away fans, they were all decoys. They were all in on it as well. They didn't mind that at all. And then, bang, what do? They get a controversial penalty in the last seconds and it all works out well, Andy Brassel. You see, you shouldn't doubt old Heckingbottom and his methods. But it was a huge win for Sheffield United. It absolutely was. I mean, they are still bottom, but the fact is they're only 2 points from safety, which is quite damning for the bottom half of the table, considering they have lost 9 out of 11. But they are now only 2 points from safety. Do you know what I mean?
I'm questioning their goal difference at the end of the season if this is a recurring tactic.
Everton may have got up to -1 points in the worst case scenario today as well. So it's important that they get that win.
It's a good point to make. But I mean, really, if you look at the bottom of the table, you know, you Luton, of course, there on 17th, Bournemouth 18th, Burnley 19th, Sheffield United 20th. I mean, Fulham aren't that far away from them, by the way, I should say. But I mean, Fulham, Wolves and Chelsea all on the same points on 12. Who knows who could be sucked into this? It is possible for one of those sides. But I think people are looking at it's really four obvious choices there in terms of relegation. But we shall see how the old Premier League turns out. The aforementioned Bournemouth were hammered 6-1 by Manchester City. That will happen, of course. No shame in that. Especially, Andy Brassel, when Jeremy Doku plays like that.
Well, you know how I said he would get turned from an inconsistent, promising talent into an absolute world beater by Pep Guardiola. I didn't really imagine it would happen in 2 months.
It's happened quickly.
Yeah.
It has happened quickly.
But he's exactly the sort of player they needed to stretch the game. He's the player they didn't have. And he's made an enormous difference. He's brilliant against Brighton the other week as well.
We saw that in the Champions League in terms of stretching the play when they were away to
Leipzig.
And you know, just absolutely classic stuff, wasn't it? You know, and the and pace
it's
on the break.
It's allowing them to get more out of Foden while De Bruyne's out of the team.
I mean,
Doku scored one. He got 4 assists. One of them was very unlucky not to be his goal. It was probably gone wide where it went off.
Hit Akanji.
Was it Akanji? Yeah, so he does get the assist for that. But he also won the most duels of any player on the pitch as well. Now, I understand that perhaps there wasn't that much duelling going on because City was so dominant, you know.
Yeah.
But still, it's impressive. It shows you the work rate of the player. And Pep was asked if Doku was one of the best players in the Premier League or Europe, and he replied, "In the world." I said that many times.
So in his top three, it's just all City players, isn't it? With Bernardo Silva rising all above them.
Yeah.
I thought we finished talking about Ballon d'Or voting last week.
Yeah.
Can I throw something at Andy? Because you mentioned
that
No. You mentioned that Doku was inconsistent, and it feels like everything we've seen from him this season has been just him getting minimal time or playing a whole game and just making correct decision after correct decision.
Mm.
Is that something he's just suddenly developed? Or did he always have that and the inconsistency was just, I suppose, puffing out his chest a bit?
Well, he's had like mostly 25, 30-minute spells in games where he's looked an absolute world beater.
He's looked quality.
No more than that. The numbers have been quite overwhelming, but the performances as well. He's always a player that you felt could do something when he started a game or was brought on in a game, but there was never a sense that he was doing it every week. And also there was always this feeling, because you remember, right, Ren bought him when they sold Rafinha to Leeds, but they bought him, that they really pushed the boat out on him. They spent nearly 30 mil on him, which is
he's only 21 now.
Yeah, so he was 18 when they bought him. The sense was very much, we're buying him to mould him into something and then sell him to a Premier League club. But it felt like there wasn't quite enough moulding. I was surprised they sold him for such a high price and to Manchester City at that point. But obviously, you know, Guardiola knew exactly what he wanted and that he was ready for
it. Do you not think, though, with a player like Doku, you know, we've seen this before, very much so, you know, Manchester City, or Pep Guardiola, I should say, playing for him, you've got to get it. You've got to get the Pep way. I mean, I know you could say that with a number of other managers, but he's the ultimate example of that. And some players take a bit of time. Some players they know are going to be a bit longer to do that. You know, Grealish, for example, huge money he came for, and it took him a while to bed him in. Whereas Doku, the minutes he's been playing and so on, it seems like he's got it.
Yeah, and I think as well, if you look at Manchester City generally in the transfer market, Haaland is the gimme, I suppose. Mm. He was the one that you knew would just be plug and play. But so many players who they buy, you think, I'm not really sure what they're doing here. It's like, you look at Kanji. He was hopeless at Dortmund. He arrived with loads of potential. He was awful for most of the time here. And you thought, why on earth are they buying him? And he becomes
But he's looking at those characteristics.
Incredible.
It's because of these signings, it's that classic, you know, to quote Sir Ralph Ramsey, I don't pick the best players, I pick the players I need.
Yes.
And you've got to fit the system. And so therefore, if you're playing sort of, I don't know, fantasy football, they might not be the best ones. As you say, if Akanji goes to some other sides, will he light up that team or will he make a big difference?
I mean, I realise they've got more money than God and all the other stuff, but the strategy is incredible.
Yeah. Well, this is what's so impressive about it, isn't it? I mean, I think it's more than just Pep Guardiola as well. There's obviously a team of people that look at these characteristics and the personalities of the players involved as well.
Yeah.
It's, you know, if you are a club with huge, huge resources, we've seen so many times it's not as simple as just go out and get Galacticos. Mm. You get the odd one like Haaland. You'd probably put Grealish in that category as well, certainly within this country.
The
talent ID is spectacular.
Yeah.
They get it so often. It's the character of the players as well, not just the ability. Yeah. And Doku's such an interesting one, isn't he? Because, I mean, they've got him at 21 as well. He feels a lot older than that because he looks sort of just ready to go. He's got a sort of bit of history there. And I guess the caveat that it's a fairly clear path for them to get a lot of players they want because of the money and the success they can offer. Mm. But maybe I missed this or it wasn't on my radar. It doesn't seem like there was any sort of bidding war for Doku or there were sort of any other clubs really chasing him. They're so good at identifying a player and going, we need this one, we'll get him. And it's not necessarily someone who's a huge name. And it's a sign of how well run they are.
I totally agree with you. And with regards to no bidding war, there might have been a Man City, but we'll take it from here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I think West Ham put a bid in and, you know, it's only going to go one way.
They had to go a little bit higher than they wanted to because of West Ham. But again, that's testament to what Manchester City do so well in terms of recruitment. Because I think if you're a Jeremy Doku type player, who by no means conquered Ligue 1 at all, and wasn't arguably a lot of time in Ren's best 11, you would sort of go, West Ham is probably the better intermediate step.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Man City convince you.
Yeah.
They convince you that you're going to be a big and important player and you're going to progress there. And with a lot of big clubs, you think, no, I'm just going to get lost.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think that's it. You know, I was sort of making this point the other day, or maybe on the mailbag, was the system is king now, especially with someone like Guardiola.
Yeah.
Do you worry for Jack Grealish, though? Guardiola says he wants Grealish to be angry and fight for his place. Because if you are Grealish...
Again, Jesus. Yeah. Look, the treble last year.
Yeah, that's safe. That's in the bag. Okay, he's not going to lose the treble. But, I mean, you know, he's... He will have to fight for his place if Doku starts putting in performance. I know it's only home to Bournemouth, and of course Man City are always going to hammer a team like that at home because they're so good. But, I mean, he got 10 out of 10 on Sky Sports player ratings. I don't think I've ever seen that before. And if that's a regular thing, then forgive me, I don't often check them. But it kind of popped out to me that.
With Grealish, though, isn't that part
Lakeith
of...
probably said he wasn't bad.
Yeah, solid five. Yeah. I think isn't that part of playing for Manchester City? And that must be the most psychologically difficult bit of playing for Manchester City, the fact that you're going to have those dip seasons, unless you're Haaland or Edison, or at least those dip part of seasons where, De Bruyne's had it, where he's not been an important player all of a sudden.
You forget he's missing.
I know
the way they're playing.
Did we see him on the touchline on the weekend? He looked like he'd come out of hibernation, but basically just had like a binge on a video game.
He
looks wonderful in normal clothes.
I know, yeah. I mean, it's hilarious. We're talking about, we haven't mentioned Bernardo Silva and how well he played.
Oh, I mean, their fifth goal, they basically scored twice. That's how dominant they were. Absolutely.
That's
ridiculous.
Why it was given a 6-1, Jim.
Yeah.
So,
Ake never scored at the end.
By the way, Alvarez lost a tooth in one of the celebrations. See this?
Yeah.
Bernardo Silva apparently pointed out to him, I think, you got a bit overexcited there. I don't know whether it was a falsie, maybe, because I think if you'd have lost the tooth, you might go, oh, I'm a bit sure of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Bleed as well.
Yeah. Anyway, we need to have further confirmation on that. So, yeah, another thumping win for Man City, who are currently top of the league. But, of course, Spurs do play tonight against Chelsea. Did you see that Pochettino said before he returns to his old stomping ground? He was asked, would you ever manage Spurs again? He went, you never know what the future holds. I mean, yeah, maybe I could see one day. It's just like, you really don't want to get booed, do you?
I just wonder if you automatically end up talking shit once you've been sitting in a seat that Jose Mourinho sat on, involuntarily talking smack. I think it just happens.
Yeah. Well, Angie's surviving. Angie's not doing that. Maybe that's why he doesn't sit down as much. Yeah. He's always standing, Angie.
Yeah. I was about to say Conte in between, but then Mourinho, anyway, you get lost, don't you? Right, gentlemen, I'd like to end the show with a bit of FA Cup first round proper chat. Of course, the first round of the FA Cup kicked off this weekend. And we can't go through all the big results and so on, because we would just be listing them off and it would be here. But Cray Valley Paper Mills, the wonderfully named Cray Valley Paper Mills from the Isthmian League South East Division, drew 1-1 with Charlton. They had to play 8 games just to get to the first round, and they've got a replay. Glorious. Wow. And that's a replay that just happened. They didn't need to request it, so well done to them. elsewhere, National League Aldershot put 7 past League Two Swindon side. They hammered the Swindon lot, Jim.
I mean, it was. If you've seen the highlights, let me do that again. If you haven't seen the highlights, the absolute silk from the Shots, as they call themselves, is incredible. It makes no sense that this is a team from a lower division.
Totally.
They're just absolutely having the time of their lives, just tearing it up.
Yeah, against the league
some
side.
Beautiful goals in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's glorious stuff, Andy.
But there was a lot of chat last week about, in the Coupe de France, Thionville going 16,000 kilometres.
Yeah.
To play in New Caledonia, and that's a feature of the Coupe de France, and so obviously you get loads of people like me going, it's an incredible cup competition because of France's overseas territories, and you get loads of shocks in
second
it and all the rest of it.
You were doing an impression of you.
I was doing an impression of me.
Yeah,
love that.
And I think the FA Cup has seen that and go, right, best cup competition in the world, eh? We'll show you what the best cup competition in the world is. It had a mega weekend. Absolutely mega weekend.
It's Charlie Austin got 2 goals as well.
Yes, yeah. It's also good that we're cancelling replays now because it affects 8 teams.
Oh, yeah. Good old Aldershot. We should say that the highest ranked side in round one, Portsmouth, were knocked out by non-league Chesterfield. This was, of course, when Luke messaged the group inviting us all to turn on ITV and say, look, get a load of this. A side who hasn't lost since March is playing, who are top of their division, blah, 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 blah.
You knew it was coming at that point,
didn't you?
And
good old Chesterfield biffed them 1-0. Former Pompey man Tom Naylor scored the goal and apologised, Andy. Did you see him put his hands up to the Portsmouth fans? Oh, sorry about that.
I'll leave. I think that's fine. It's a player to player case, isn't it? If they feel of more, like Lukaku did it when he scored against West Brom, and he was there for 6 months, but he said it was a really impactful.
The worst one was Scott Sinclair.
Yeah, yeah.
For Swansea. When he scored against Chelsea,
I would do.
He barely
kicked a ball. I would do it at a bigger club as possible, but unreasonably. So if I was playing like Real Madrid in a preseason friendly, I'd score. So people, oh God, he used to be at Real Madrid.
Yeah, or maybe that's because he's going to go there.
Yeah,
yeah, perhaps. But anyway, it was a brilliant win for Chesterfield. Lovely to see Chesterfield winning cup games for those of us who remember the 90s. So marvellous stuff, of course, happening in the FA Cup. We should say as well, talking of games in or non-league teams, we were messaged this by quite a few people. There was a non-league game in Scotland between Dunipace and Whitburn. It was abandoned the weekend just gone after the Dunipace physio was punched by a Whitburn player.
Who tends to a physio if he's hurt?
Yeah, maybe that's what the point the player was trying to make.
Oh, we went to the source. Yeah. Yeah.
Fix yourself.
Yeah. So
we don't condone that, do we?
No, we don't. But it was messaged quite a lot. It seemed like quite an odd happening. It happened deep into injury time in the second half, I believe.
Maybe he took that very literally.
Yeah. And
like the Purge. Yeah.
He created the injury
time.
Here
we go, lads. It's injury time.
Scottish.
Whatever. That's injury time.
This is my time. And there we are.
I'd watch that instead of fucking. Yeah. What was the film we talked about? Green Street, Green Mile.
Oh, we were talking about Green Street. Only very, very different. Very different.
Yeah,
you got to do the Green Mile up Green Street.
Yeah, it's a bit like the Otley Run.
Yeah, and then you get to the Green Goblin. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Willem Dafoe.
There we are. You see, but it wasn't the title of the film.
No.
But it was. It stayed.
It's not about him.
But he's in the film family. He knows the films. And I said that, of course,
he
we would.
The screen.
I said we would finish with a bit of FA Cup first.
But while we're talking about the Greens.
Well, Andy Brassel.
We're not finishing, Marcus. We are coming to the headline act. Mm.
Consider this a hidden track, if you will. Portland Timbers, the official Ramble MLS side, we should say. And the reason why they're the official MLS side is because our man Eric, of course, who's from that part of the world, marvellous man, has done marvellous things at Portland Timbers Ground by playing the Ramble theme tune out on the loudspeaker system there. He also gave us freebies at our Chicago live
which
show.
Which you love.
Which
you?
I bloody love. What, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but you're well into it, though, aren't you?
Yeah. I sort of speak on behalf of the group for that kind of thing. I mean, we are open for offers, basically.
Yeah, sure.
I know there was a Seattle Sounders fan who got in touch with me. He was very unhappy about this. And I said, well, state your case, sir.
This is exactly what I mean.
So the Portland Timbers, we haven't even got to the crux of this. Why are you going on about MLS sides? They are reportedly in advanced talks to hire Phil Neville as their head coach.
And it's not gone down well, has it? There are protests.
Again, what's good for the Ramble may not be good for your club.
Can I make a small prediction?
Yeah.
That,
he's running on the beaches by Tuesday?
Of course, the fact is that Portland Timbers didn't make the MLS playoffs.
Yes.
So they're officially out of season. I think Phil Neville gets this job, gets fired, and is LA Galaxy coach by the start of next season.
It has to be on the coast, Andy, as we know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because he does love those beach runs.
He does.
Mm.
It's quite cold in Portland, though, isn't it?
Well, Fizzer will get things warmed up. There's a party in Portland, and you're bloody invited.
I'm not going.
No one's sleeping tonight.
I'm not going.
Portland's a very sort of hipstery area, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
He doesn't see how he fits in there.
He won't get any of it.
He won't. Yeah, that's true.
So after the Leo Messi thing into Miami, is this why Damian Lillard's left Portland already?
I think so, yeah.
Doesn't want to be
involved. He'd rather be in Milwaukee than Portland.
Why is everyone activating charcoal? What's going on here? To be fair, talking of like...
They love their coffee here.
Talking of Milwaukee, when we went on our US tour... Pete stayed behind for a couple of days so he could go to Milwaukee.
Didn't he do that once where he stayed in the US? Or maybe this is the same thing, because he wanted to keep driving on the other side of the road.
Something
to
like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's currently on his way back from Dortmund, not for De Classica. So none of this is unusual.
Not for the Newcastle game either.
I love the response of our tour agent who was out there when we told him. He's an American guy who lives in New York, very much in New York, and he just looked at us and he went, but he's gone. Yeah, and we were like, yeah, he's just staying behind. And he goes, I mean, Milwaukee's nice, but it's not like, hey, I got to go there. Glorious. Anyway, we've outstayed our welcome. Or have we? It's our bloody feed. Thanks very much to listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Luke and Vish are back tonight for Ramble Reacts following Tottenham versus Chelsea. Do follow us on X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you, Andy.
Thanks.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you.
And thank you, Milwaukee. See you soon, everybody.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.